You're listening to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Privileged to have with us today Dr. John Lott as we talk about his new book, The War on Guns. About 300 pages, published by Regnery. We have a link to his website. We'll talk more about that in just a minute, as well as to the book. You'll probably be able to find it in your local bookstore, but also if you'd like to order it online, we've made that possible as well. Going to be talking over the next hour here about these gun licenses and background checks, which don't stop crime, and as we pointed out just a minute ago, actually hurt the most vulnerable. I mean, if you want to actually get a background check, just $80 alone is added to the cost of transferring a gun in New York, $125, as we talked about just a minute ago, in the District of Columbia. And then, of course, we also talked about all these initial denials, these false positives. So this is why it's important for you to read these books and to look at some of the commentaries that we have posted by Dr. John Lott, because you need to understand that some of the things that you're hearing are not true. We'll also get into the stand your ground laws, and maybe even some of the media bias and a variety of other issues that are certainly very relevant. But another one that you have talked about, Dr. Lott, so often is the gun-free zones attract mass shooters. And there is a lot of evidence to suggest, as you have before, that since the 1950s, most of the time, the preponderance of time in which these mass shootings take place are in gun-free zones. And that shows me that deranged individuals and terrorists want to have the best possibility of actually enacting the greatest amount of damage without actually having somebody shoot back at them. Fair?
Yeah. No, thanks. I mean, it's virtually always the case. Almost 99% of the mass public shootings over that period of time have occurred in places where civilians are generally not able to go and defend themselves. And what I try to show in The War on Guns is case after case where killers have explicitly made statements about why they chose a particular venue. I'll give you one recent one that wasn't in the book, and that is just a few months ago in Detroit, there was a case where a father was concerned about his son's involvement in ISIS. He called up the FBI. The FBI put a tap on his phone, and they have a chilling recording of him planning to attack one of the largest churches in the Detroit area. And this ISIS sympathizer listed two reasons for why he had picked this church. One is he had cased the church and seen that they had very large congregations showing up for Sunday services. And two, the church had explicitly forbidden anybody to carry a permanent concealed handgun on church property. And so in chilling detail, this ISIS sympathizer was saying that that would make it easy for him to kill a lot of people before anybody was going to be able to stop him. He had even measured the distance to the nearest police department to kind of confirm to himself that he would have a fair amount of time before anybody would be there to stop him. But, I mean, there's nothing unusual about this case. As I say in the book, we have a number of cases. But, you know, you have the statistical evidence besides that. You see case after case where there's an attack at a mall in Omaha, Nebraska. Well, there are eight other malls there. The guy picked the only mall that had a sign banning permanent concealed handguns, and it just happened to be the mall that was farthest from his home. But it's not just there. Same thing in Kansas City, same thing in Salt Lake City, same thing in Portland, Oregon. You know, you have movie theater shootings. You have the Aurora Batman movie theater shooting, where there were seven movie theaters, within a 20-minute drive of the killer's apartment. Yeah. Only one of those posted signs banning permanent concealed handguns. Again, that's the one he went to. Didn't go to the one closest to his home or the one that had the largest auditoriums, which you think on a premiere movie night for a Batman movie would be, you know, a lot more victims. And, you know, Lafayette movie theater shooting last year, same story. You just see time after time when these killers could have picked lots of places, they just zero in on the place where the victims can't defend themselves. And even without these explicit statements from these killers, at some point, you would think people would have to recognize that these just aren't random. And, you know, the problem is, President Obama, for example, makes fun of concealed handguns being able to stop these things because He says, look, we have 300 million guns. If gun ownership would prevent these mass public shootings, we shouldn't have any here in the United States compared to the rest of the world. And he's wrong on two counts. One is, you know, if you look, first of all, it's one thing to own a gun. It's another thing, though, not to be able to have it with you. So just because you have a gun at home isn't going to protect you from a mass public shooting in a place you're at where guns are banned.
Yes.
And if you look around the world, we have a whole chapter in the war on guns, mm-hmm. comparing mass public shootings in the United States to the rest of the world. If you just look during Obama's presidency, Europe has 50% more casualties from mass public shootings than the United States does. Europe and the United States are relatively safe compared to the rest of the world. The rest of the world has a lot more mass public shootings when you adjust for population than the United States does.
Yeah, Chapter 7 in your book is worth the price. Of course, every one of the chapters is, but this one, how does the United States compare to other countries? As you well know, you and I have done a number of interviews, but that was really new information when you begin to look at the death rate per million and realize that Norway, Serbia, places like that are at the top, France next, and the United States is further down. And again, just to get back to the point you made it a minute ago about the fact that these individuals do make these choices, we have not only just the anecdotal information, but we have the diary, for example, of James Holmes. That was the killer there in the Aurora Theater, in which, again, he was writing about the fact that some of these places, like the Denver Airport, had, quote, substantial security. And as you point out, seven different theaters within 20 minutes, he was willing to bypass to go to the one theater where he was assured that people did not have concealed carry. So these are oftentimes referred to as random shootings, random mass shootings. They don't seem that random when you look at the mindset of some of these evildoers, because they have thought through the possible implications of how they can bring about the greatest amount of carnage.
Yeah. Look, I mean, these guys may be demented in many ways, but that doesn't mean they're stupid. They have a certain goal that they want to try to achieve, and that goal is to kill as many people as possible. And so they go to a place where their victims are disarmed, so that they can go and kill people without, somebody being able to stop them for some period of time.
Very good.
And, Hillary Clinton's made fun of this. In fact, Hillary Clinton wants to greatly restrict people being able to carry concealed handguns. My concern is that if we really were serious about trying to stop these mass public shootings, we would try to go and get rid of these gun-free zones. They're a magnet for those that want to go and kill people.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to give you a chance to join the conversation. We have a lot more to talk about with Dr. John Lott, because we want to get into a couple of other issues. And how many people, for example, hold concealed handgun permits? How many are men? How many are women? We'll get into some of those facts and figures. The whole issue of whether or not the public health study should be used to evaluate guns, the Stand Your Ground laws, and many other issues that we're talking about today. And if you would like to know a little bit more about his work, you can go to crimeresearch.org. Of course, we have a link to it there as well. We also have information about the book, and you should be able to find it in your local bookstore. But if you'd like to order it right away, or some of you would like to even put it on your tablet and start reading before the program ends, you can certainly do that as well. So it's all available at our website, pointofview.net. The book, again, is entitled The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. And if you'd like to join the conversation, that number is 1-800-351-1212. Now, just before we go to the break, let me remind you that Point of View is really supported by listeners, and certainly we need your help to continue bringing this kind of information to your community and really across the world. Even today, I suspect you're hearing things you've never heard before. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to have John Lott on for the hour to talk about his new book. But I might also mention that giving to Point of View oftentimes drops to its lowest level during our month of August. We're only the third day into that, so your gift today is really needed. So if you would, please take the time as you're going to the website and finding out more about this book, War on Guns, also maybe looking up some of the other columns we've posted by Dr. John Lott, to consider clicking on that button that says Donate Now. We're even suggesting if you've never given before, maybe just to give $5, that would really make a difference and be helpful to us. And as a thank you gift, we are making available to you, if you mark it, an opportunity to send our little booklet that has the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. So every gift is important. So please let me hear from you right now. And you can do that by going to the website, pointofview.net. Let's take a break. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. John Lott. That comes up right after these important messages.
I had what many would call the Cadillac of insurance plans with my company. It covered everything, and that's what got us started thinking, well, what is everything? Are we indirectly paying for people to use services that we don't believe in or want to be a part of? And MediShare was the perfect answer for that.
I felt such relief switching over to MediShare. I wasn't paying for anything that I didn't believe in. I was actually able to stand up for what I believe in, and I was able to put my money where my faith is.
We're part of this great program, and it really costs us less than insurance.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
Point of View Radio needs you in 2016. Join today at pointofview.net. Become a monthly partner. pointofview.net. Or call 1-800-347-5151. Point of View will continue after this.